In the name of Jesus, the whole of heaven comes to attention and every demon in hell shivers. You've got to know that. Because when the enemy comes in, he comes to rattle your cage. But when you and I speak the name of Jesus, they can't ignore that. Because that's the very name that stripped them of all power, all authority. Therefore, you and I don't walk around hiding and wondering whether the devil's going to nail us or whatever. You remind yourself, he is a defeated person. He still has a voice. He shouts. He does all those kind of things. But he's defeated. He has no hold over you and I unless we give it to him. That's how we need to walk our Christian life. And that means we can wake up in the morning with bounce in our step, song in our heart, excited and expectant for something amazing to happen because he's for us and not against us. And that's got nothing to do with what I'm going to share. So I've been speaking over the last couple of weeks about purpose. Anybody remember anything? I'm sure you can remember it as if it was yesterday. So purpose means knowing the reason for my existence. Knowing the reason for my existence. Every time there is worship, something should come alive on the inside of you because that's the reason for my existence, is to magnify his name. So worship should always be exciting me and getting something coming alive on the inside. Remember this, God made you and I with a purpose for a purpose. You're not a mistake. And it doesn't matter what's the label on the tin. It's what is the contents that's more important. It doesn't matter what the world has labeled you. It doesn't matter what society. It doesn't matter what circumstances has labeled you. What's inside is more important. It's not on the top, it's inside. That, they got that advert wrong. And that's why you and I use the scripture, Romans 4:21, being fully persuaded. You and I can never walk with passion in our heart. You and I can never be able to live life big if there's no persuasion on the inside. If I'm not fully persuaded that God loves me and that he's got something for me. And he's put me here to do something for him. That's the thing I've got to settle in my heart. And then the last time I spoke, we spoke about the things that we should be doing. Remember, we're talking about purpose. It's loving the Lord with all your... It doesn't matter about the order as long as all four of them are there. Heart, mind, soul, and strength. Everything about me magnifies his name. And why is that important? Because all these things that I've mentioned and spoken about over these last couple of weeks is what we can be and do. It's so that you and I can be something. We call to be children of God. And we're called to demonstrate. We've called to increase his territory. We've been called to increase his rule and reign. We've been called to take back what the enemy stole and bring it back into the kingdom. That's why you and I, my feet, are here on earth, is because that's our role. And so out of that, I want to talk to you about your job description. When you go and get to a new job, what is one of the things they give you? That's after the first month. When you go there, what's the one of the first things they're going to give you? A title. Great. That's going to be there. What else? A job description. Why are they going to give you a job description? So that you know what to do. But here's something connected to it. When you know what to do, there's an expectation connected to it that you will cover. The reason why anybody will employ anybody is because they want him to kind of like go there and have tea all day and sit and chinwag and tell them about the lack of holiday and the lack of weekend and the most amazing adventures they've had in life. Yeah? Is that what people are prepared to pay you for? Or are they prepared to pay you because you're going to help them increase their stamp in this world? Increase productivity. Increase them in whatever field they are in. You are called to increase. When you go back to the Bible, right into Genesis, God says, made man, and he said, what did he say? Rule, reign, have dominion. So wherever God puts me and you, he's put a purpose on the inside, have dominion, rule, take over. You're shocked. And so let me tell you why. It's because when you have a job description which gives you purpose, that means you and I stay in our lane. Have you seen a running race, relay race? If they come out of the lane, they're disqualified. And many of us, we become busy with other things instead of what I should be busy with. And some of us get labeled busybodies because we are helping everybody else, but we're never doing what we should be doing. And so we need to become focused in that. And so it's amazing. Jesus said in Matthew 7:16, you will know them by their... What does fruit speak of? Does fruit present productivity? Does it... See, Jesus... James used the scripture here about somebody being productive. Gave him five, and with that five, got five more. Being productive with what we have. And so every single one of us is absolutely important, but you're not the same like the guy next to you or the girl next to you. You're different. That means you have a different role to play. So stop comparing yourself to your neighbor. I'm going to say that again. Stop comparing yourself to your neighbor, because if I compare myself to Steve, I'm losing. Big. Because Steve is just unique in many, many different ways. Yeah, I mean, I'm trying to catch up all the... Hey, he shot me yesterday. He shot me a lot. We went to play Airstaff. There's a whole bunch of you. Did you read my message? I forgive all of you. Yes, you're too biblical, widow. So, let's rewind a little bit. You okay? We're going to break bread as well, so I can't go too long. So this is going to sneak into next week and whatever. So the question is, what did Jesus say about himself? Because Jesus is our role model. And we want to know what he came. So Luke 4:16. And he, Jesus, went to Nazareth where he had been brought up. And on the Sabbath day, he went into the synagogue, as was his custom. I want you to underline that. So remember this, there's two words that are used in the New Testament. There's temple and synagogue. They're two different places. The temple was a place where everybody got together. It's like church. But the synagogue was where the little clusters of people got to. It's pretty much like our comms. I want you to hear the words that Jesus says here. It says, on the Sabbath day, he went to the synagogue, as was his custom. So if it was his custom, we find out it's a very important part of life. And we need to learn from that. And he stood up to read. The scroll of prophet Isaiah was handed to him, rolled up, and he unrolled it, and found the place where it's written. Listen to this now. Because I think that this, a lot of things that have been said here tonight, this is pulling it all together. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to preach good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners and recovery of sight for the blind, to release the oppressed, and to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. Then he rolled up the scroll. He gave it back to the attendant. He sat down. The eyes of everybody in the synagogue were fastened on him. And he began to say to them, today, this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing. Today, this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing. If this scripture was fulfilled then, is it still fulfilled? We must not forget that. You see, because sometimes the worries of this world and the way that the enemy is able to harass us, we forget. We're going to break bread. Paul writes to the Corinthian church, he says, do this in remembrance, because we can forget very quickly. Now that quote comes out of Isaiah 61, verse 1 and 2. So yeah, Isaiah is prophesying, and he's prophesying a picture of deliverance of Israel from Babylon, because that's when they were in captivity there. And he was speaking about the year of Jubilee. He was referring back to Leviticus 25, where speaking the year of Jubilee was when all debts were canceled. I think we should go back to these kind of days. All slaves set free, and all property returned to original owners. I mean, that's like amazing. But the problem is that when he prophesied it, the nation of Israel never experienced and never saw the fulfillment of that. So obviously, Isaiah wasn't talking about a change in the rule or the being set free from the Babylonian rule at that time. And so when Jesus picks this up, it ties it in now that Isaiah was actually prophesying about the coming of Jesus. Okay. And that's why Jesus says, today, that scripture is fulfilled in your hearing. Yo, I love that. So remember, a job description tells me what is required of me, and it communicates expectation. Cool? All right, great. Can you remember when we went to Matthew 6 and we were talking about prayer? And we spoke about Matthew 6, and in the beginning it says, when you pray, when you fast. And there we settled those words used there. It says that heaven has an expectation that you and I will be prayers, givers, fasters. Okay, but that's just a rewind and a recap and a whatever. So, question is, did Jesus fulfill this? We have to answer that question. Is he who he said he would be? So I'm so glad that you asked that question, because now we're going to go and work through that whole thing. So John the Baptist lands up in jail. Kind of like everything landed up like he wasn't expecting it to be. And he lands up in jail, and he got a bit confused, and he lost sight of whether Jesus, he was the one that said, behold the Messiah, the Lamb. Remember that. I mean, that was like a revelation from God that picked him up in the crowd. And now he's in prison, and after saying that, he sends his disciples saying, are you the Messiah? Kind of like lost it a little bit. We pick up the story in Luke chapter 7, verse 17. It says, this news about Jesus spread throughout Judea and the surrounding country. John's disciples told him about all these things. Calling two of them, he sent them to the Lord to ask, are you the one who was to come, or should we be expecting someone else? When the men came to Jesus, they said, John the Baptist sent us to you to ask, are you the one who was to come, or should we be expecting someone else? Listen to Jesus' answer. At that very time, Jesus cured many who had diseases, sicknesses, evil spirits, and gave sight to many who were blind. He replied to them, to the messengers, go back and report to John what you see and heard. We overcome him by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. The miracles that Jesus is doing in your life needs to be communicated. Tell as many people as you can. You know why? Because that's how you nail a nail into the enemy's coffin. You're just nailing and saying, you dead, bro. Jesus is alive. Jesus alive. The blind receive their sight, the lame walk, those who have leprosy are cured, the deaf hear, the dead are raised, and the good news is preached to the poor. Blessed is the man who does not fall away on account of me. But that was Jesus. That was Jesus' job description. What's mine? Again, I'm so glad you asked such good questions. Because that our job description, I believe, is answered in these next two scriptures. Jesus said in John 14:12, does anybody know it other than looking on the board? No, it's not there yet. Verily, verily, I say to you, whoever believes in me, can I ask anybody who believes in Jesus, can you put up your hand, please? I'm just checking to see whose hand's not up. We're going to make an altar call. Whoever believes in me, so that means it's you, will do the works I have been doing, and they will do even greater than these because I'm going to the Father. Do you want to know what your job description is? Do you want to know what heaven is expected of you and me? There it is. That which I have done, you will do also, and greater, because I'm going back to the Father. And the only reason why it's greater is because you and I are going to live here longer. He was only on the earth for 33 years. Here's the next one. Jesus' last words to the disciples is called the Great Commission, and I'm going to read the one from Mark 16 from verse 15. And he, Jesus, said to them, go into all the world and do what? Preach the good news to all creation. Whoever believes and is baptized will be saved, but whoever does not believe will be condemned. And these signs will accompany those who believe in my name. Can I put this out there a little bit? Sometimes we are and I don't want to say something that's going to trap me. But sometimes we are scared to use the name of Jesus. And here he says, in my name, you will do what? You will drive out demons. You will speak with new tongues. You will pick up snakes. I don't know why you want to do that. I'm not going to go there. They will drink poison. I'm not going to go there either. I will not hurt. They will not hurt them at all. They will place their hands on the sick people and they will get well. And after the Lord Jesus had spoken to them, he was taken up in heaven and sat at the right hand of God. Verse 20, then the disciples went out and preached. In obedience to what Jesus had told them to do, they went. And it says they preached everywhere and the Lord worked with them. There is nothing clever in me and you. There is no supernatural ability in you and I other than if God breathes, something's going to happen. If God doesn't breathe, nothing's going to happen. Martin Varche, I was supposed to, where's Martin? Martin, can you come here quickly? Are you allowed to? Can somebody help him look after? Oh, you can bring him with. I just want you to share what he felt in the worship, because I think it's just going to add just another flavor to what I'm sharing over here. Because we need to understand, the Bible speaks about Jesus as light, and where there is light, there is darkness. Cannot be there. Have you been at nighttime when it's pitch dark and you light a match? It's the tiniest flame, but yet it expels darkness. Darkness has to go. And I want to encourage us that it doesn't matter how small you think your light is. Darkness is expelled by it. Martin, please share.
You're limited to distance. Okay. Yeah, so I just had a picture of a sunflower, and it was only the one sunflower, and God's radiant, you know, light was shining onto this sunflower. And, you can see this beauty of the sunflower. It's like you can see all the colors of it, every definition of it. It's just such a beautiful sunflower. And then if it's dark, you actually don't see the sunflower, the beauty of it at all, just because God's not shining onto it. And then God showed me another picture of, you know, where the sun rises. It's dark at night, but you can't see the beauty that he created. The earth, the birds, whatever, the humans he created and everything. But as soon as the sun actually rises, you can see the sun shining on everything that God created, all the beauty and everything that he created. Yeah.
Wonderful. Thanks, Martin. So here's what I want you. When Jesus shines on you, his beauty is seen. I'm going to say that again. When Jesus shines on you and I, his beauty is seen. The problem is we live with ourselves, so we see all the cracks and the failures. or maybe it's only me. But the problem is, you're actually beautiful. You are actually beautiful. And God's shining on you. And you don't have to do anything to impress Him. He's impressed already. You know why I know He's impressed? Because if I go right back to the beginning, when He made man, He said, it is very good. Everything else was good, 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 good. And when He made man, He said, it is very good. So you and I are very good. Hallelujah. So this thing that Jesus, not this thing, the scripture that Jesus commands us to do, go and preach, all that. All of a sudden we read in the book of Acts and we see this whole thing starting to happen in Acts chapter 2. The very scripture that we build our whole, what us as Josh Jane are building on. They devoted themselves to apostles' teaching, to fellowship, to breaking of bread, to prayer. Everybody was filled with awe at the many wonders and signs performed by the apostles, and all the believers were together and had everything in common. They sold their property, possessions, gave to anyone who had a need. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple. They broke bread in homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. Listen to this. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. When you and I are radiating the glory, the picture of the light shining on the, it attracts the bees and the things that bring the pollination and all that kind of stuff. And you need to understand that when Jesus is shining on you and I, we are radiating His amazing goodness. And I'm asking us today, stop beating ourselves up. Stop looking down on yourself. Start to see yourself through the eyes of Jesus. You are fearfully, when He said it, you are fearfully and wonderfully made. You're. And after that encounter of Peter and John at the gate, beautiful, the lame man there. And Peter preaches the gospel, listen, in Acts 4:4, but many who heard the message believed, so the numbers of men who believed grew to about 5,000. There is something that you need to understand. Numbers are connected to life. Where Jesus comes and He brings life, people are going to come. You cannot keep what God wants to build small. As long as you don't lose what God wants you to have in the big. Otherwise, we've lost. And the question we have to keep asking ourselves, are all these things just stories to fill up the Bible? Or are they things that God wanted to document so it would stir our faith because He wanted us to believe Him for more and to do more? And I choose to believe that God communicates these things because He wants to stir our faith. He wants us to believe Him for more. He wants to do more. And He's waiting for you and I. So the context of what Jesus did in connected to verse 18, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because He has anointed me. He has anointed me. You need to understand, anointed means you are equipped and you are full, and you are ready for the job. You and I are equipped, full, and ready for the job. If you're washed in the blood of Jesus, when your heart is surrendered to Him, when you've allowed Him to fill you, when you're living for Him and not for yourself any longer, you are equipped, ready for the job. So rewind. Jesus gets baptized, and in Matthew 4, verse 1, Jesus says this, Jesus is led by the Spirit into the wilderness. Okay? In Luke chapter 4, picking up the story, verse 14, it says, Jesus returned in the power of the Spirit. He was led by the Spirit into the wilderness, but He came out of there in the power of the Spirit. And after Jesus is raised, He meets with His disciples. And in Acts chapter 1 verse 4, He says, do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift My Father promised, which you have heard Me speak about. For John baptized with water, but in a few days from now, you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit. Down to verse 8. and you shall receive. You're not a weakling trying to exist. You're not a misfit in the wrong place. If there's something that you will catch tonight, more than anything else, is you need to understand God has filled you with His power. And He said, in fact, He says in the Great Commission, whatever you ask in My name, I'll do it for you. Now, obviously, He's not telling them to ask crazy things. He's asking them, if you are going to be totally sold out to Me, and you're going to build My kingdom, and you're going to glorify Me and not yourself, then what you ask in the sense of building My kingdom, I'll do for you. I'll do for you. You shall receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you'll be My witnesses, Jerusalem, Judea, and to the ends of the earth. Now, where have I gone? Because now I've gone fast forward in my notes. So here it says he says the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. That word upon means superimposed. It's like it's covered. It's saturated. In other words, it gives you the impression of it's saturated. But here's the purpose of it. It's not because many things you do so that it makes you look good. This is not the reason why the Spirit of the Lord is upon you. The Spirit of the Lord is upon you, and the emphasis there is for redistribution. It's for you and I to take that and to pass it on. That wherever we go, whoever we speak to, that the Spirit of God would be so alive that other hearts would become ignited in what God is doing and so excited about this God that we serve and the miracles that He's done and how He set us free from our past and how He's put purpose in our life, that would be a fire that would start and would just start to run. I trust this is exciting you as I was just reading all these scriptures. Matthew 10. The 12 Jesus sent out with the following instructions. Do not go among the Gentiles or enter the town of the Samaritans, but rather go to the lost sheep of Israel. As you go, proclaim this message. The kingdom of heaven has come near. Heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse those who have lepers, drive out demons. Freely you have received. Charge people so you can pass it on. No. Freely give. You and I need to become generous with the God that we serve. I think we worry too much about whether everything's in line and right and what. Let God worry about that. Let you and I just find opportunities where God can do something. I want to just remember, I've got to stop. Otherwise, closing with testimony. I remember when I just started off in the ministry. I had more excitement than brains. And so I remember I was looking for opportunities and I was in amongst farmers, so I would go to them and then I would minister to the staff. And I remember the one time we were praying, what needs are there? And in the African culture, if you don't bear children, it's a disgrace to you and you bring a disgrace on the family. And I trust that I'm understanding that correctly. So we got together there, and immediately you're thinking, my goodness, this is like a serious prayer. But you know what? I just thought, you know what, Lord? This is going to be for You. That's it. Nothing happens, too bad. But here we go. And we prayed. And I remember them coming back and saying how she had fallen pregnant and how the baby was born eventually and was a healthy baby and all that kind of stuff. And here was the thing. Her husband was fighting with having to send her away because that was the custom and the family was putting pressure on him to do that. And he wanted to honor God. And he didn't want to do that. And how we just prayed and we trusted God and God did a miracle. And it was a great excitement. Whoa! But it had nothing to do with me. It had everything to do with Jesus. It had everything to do with God. We're so hungry to see You move in this tailor that You love this person so much that You want to demonstrate Your greatness. In 2 Peter 1:3, His divine power has given us everything. What does everything mean? It means everything. It means nothing excluded. Everything that we need for life and godliness through our knowledge of Him. I'm going to stop there. So I want you to go and meditate on Luke 4, 18 and 19. And we're going to pick this up again. But I want to ask, can this be the fuel that would stir us every single day when we wake up? That when we wake up in the morning, we're looking for opportunities. We're looking, how can I be this person today, Jesus? What? Because many times I think Jesus brings opportunities by us, but we're so, I was going to use a word now, we're so blind. I didn't use that word. We're so blind, we don't even see them. It's like when Shirley sends me to the kitchen and she says, go and get the salt in the cupboard. I open the cupboard, I look, there's no salt. Don't nod like that. And I said, it's not in the cupboard. She goes to the same cupboard, opens the door right in front of me. Yeah. She takes the salt out. She says, here it is. I'm thinking, where did you hide it? I want to tell you, life's not a waste of time. And the enemy can bat us and hurt us and do all sorts of stuff. And life gets tough. It does. But I want to tell you, God is still good. And His name is above every name. And that every knee will bow. And every tongue will confess Jesus Christ is Lord. And every devil in hell is scared of that name, Jesus. And I want to ask you, will you use that name? When you pray, use the name of Jesus. Pray and then pray His word, saying in Jesus' name. Moses, the reason why the anger of God never came upon, because he presented God's promises back to him. He said, God, you said, these are your people. And God withdrew. He says, I'm watching over my word. I'm watching over my word. His word is working mightily in you. Oh, the growth might be slow sometimes, but God is working in you. And don't allow your perception of what you think God is doing stop you from being excited about what He still wants to do. Get excited. What's that song? Get all excited. Go and tell somebody Jesus Christ is King. We're going to break bread.